हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In the Varaha Purana it is said, page 129, Swamsas chato vibhinamsha iti ve damsha ishyate. There are two kinds of amshas. The swamshas are incarnations of the Lord, and the vibhinamshas are the individual spirit soul. In the Samohana Tantra it is said, Dharmartha kama moksham ishvaro jagarishvara shanti tasya mahabhaga avatara sahasrasaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all the universes. He is the master of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. In many thousands of various glorious incarnations, he comes to this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 20.105 explains, Maya tita para vyoma shabara avasthana vishve avatari dhari avatara nama. All the expansions of Lord Krishna are actually residents of the spiritual world. However, when they descend into the material world, they are called incarnations, avatars. Right? So they live in the spiritual world. When they come down here, they're called avatars. Not that they just manifest here. Amnaya Sutra 3:17, yes.
When we say that the Supreme Lord is the master of religion, development, sanctification, liberation, it means that without him, nobody can engage in this activity.
No, yes. It means Dharmartha Kama Moksha is that he's basically any activity, it's all done by him. Right? It's like we have the body, it's dead matter, but we call it alive. And we'll say, because the soul is there, but the soul is not the one that's making it alive. It's Krishna as the life force is making it alive. Otherwise, it's the same materials that, you know, the rug and the pot is made out of. Right? So, you know, like this pot is probably, you know, 90% water. Right? You know, because it's full of water. Like that. So, Krishna makes it alive. So he's the living force. He's the, you know, the mobility. He's the breathing. He's the thinking. He's all that. It's just that the living entity, because the living entity has their natural form and all that, which is made of the spiritual energy, in which these things go on. Right? But when the living entity comes to the material world, then it's the same principle is in the spiritual world. You know, that one has form, there's activities and all these things. Because we didn't have a problem with the spiritual world, we had a problem with Krishna. Right? Like that's the thing. So, he just mimics what goes on there, here, with dead matter. So he has to enter it and make it all work. So none of these function without him. That's why it's foolish to think that one can do things in one's own way. The concept that we don't need to follow the authority of scriptures and the acharyas and the guru, like this, that's fallacious, because we think we're independent and we're doing this on our own potency. Right? It means our potency basically means we have desire. Then we can say within the body there's an allotted amount of energy And with that energy, the living entity does things. You know, they can walk around and do stuff on their own energy. But it's still this energy that's allotted from the Supreme Lord. So they're conscious, they can have desire, and like that. So here, that's all the more there is. In the spiritual world, then, in that case, one is the body. You know? But here, one's not. So Krishna actually has to do everything. That's why you have to, when the philosophy of seeing everything connected to Krishna means whatever you do will be Krishna conscious. Right? But we'll limit that only these things are connected to Krishna and everything else is connected to me. Right? So everyone acts according to their quota. It's all mine and this much is Krishna's. So.
And it mentions about that the incarnations, they are permanent residents of the spiritual world. So, for the Shaktavish avatar, which are jivas, and in that case, also it appears, you see.
The Shaktavish avatars, as jivas, are they also there? The point is that what is that potency, administrative potency, like a Pritumaraj, is that not there in the spiritual world?
Yes,
the point is they don't. All this doesn't come from the material world. Why do we have to say this? Because all the philosophies other than Vaishnavism will say everything manifests from matter. So all the qualities, all the forms, all the action, you know, the life force, the jivas, everything's coming from dead matter. Right? So that's why it has to be pointed out. No, it's all coming from the Lord. It's already there in the spiritual world. Shri Govinda Bhasha, Siddhanta. Samsas cha vibhinam sha iti dve dhamsha ishyate amshino yattu samartyam yat sorupam yatastitihi tareva nanu matropi bheda sam shinok kvachit vibhinam sho pa shakti syat kinchit samartya matrayuk sarve sarva gunai puna sarva dosha vivarjitaha. There are two types of amshas, swamsha and vibhinamsha. The swamsha does not differ at all from the amshi in powers, nature, and position. The vibhinamsha has little power and only some ability. The swamsha forms are all devoid of all faults and are perfect. Right, that they're not devoid of all faults and Mahavaraha Purana. The meaning is this: Ete Chamsha Kala Pumsha Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. All our Amshas are Kalas, but Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:328. Matsya and other forms are considered Amshas of the Sham Rupa person called Krishna. They do not differ from the Lord, as do the jivas. Krishna is like the Vaidurya gem, which manifests various colors at various times. Since he manifests the various forms of the avatars, while still remaining in his form, they are given their various designations depending on whether they are manifesting or not manifesting all of the Lord's Shaktis. Krishna is the Amshi, manifesting six qualities completely. Amshas manifest those qualities incompletely, and Kalas manifest just one or two qualities. Right? There's something specific, so they manifest that. That's what they're doing. Like Vyasadeva, he's a literary incarnation. He's Vishnu Tattva, but all he's manifesting is the literary aspect. Does that make sense? So like that. While others, then let's say, when Krishna comes down in this, I think, eight-armed form for the yajna, daksha, and all that, then it's Vishnu form, but he only is manifesting a certain amount of his six qualities. Because how much do you have to manifest to come to the yajna? Right? Because that's all he's doing, attending the yajna.
The phases of the moon, when it increases slowly and gradually, that is called as kala. So it is moon, but it is partial moon. The same way in Krishna.
Means that the moon has the phases, so that those are all called kala. And so just this, it's the moon is complete, but it's only showing a certain amount of potency. An example is given. A person who speaks on the six scriptures is called most learned. Sometimes he does not speak completely on the scriptures, and sometimes he speaks on one or two of them. He is then called a learned or somewhat learned person, though he is the same person, right, depending upon what he's speaking. It is said in the Purusha, Bodhini, Shruti that Radha and others are his complete Shaktis. The 10th canto of Bhagavatam describes Krishna's qualities. He has followers filled with the highest prema, has a sweetness in his flute that astonishes the most learned like Shiva, and a sweetness of form which astonishes everyone, including himself. He has intense compassion. These qualities appear eternally in Krishna, who drinks the milk of Yashoda. But those qualities do not appear in Matsya and others. Nonetheless, because these forms manifest some of his various qualities, they are not like the jivas, who are another category, tattva. Rather, these forms are non-different from him. Right, so they're in the same tattva. The jivas are in another tattva. Right? Certainly. Bhagavat verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28.
When we say categories here, the tattvas, so we say avatars, they are Vishnu tattva, and jiva is tattastra, jiva tattva.
Yes.
Now, when we talk, for example, about Kritama, a Shaktivesh, we know he's a jiva, but he has potency. So
yes, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord's potency. Otherwise, how does someone do that? Who chases after the earth, catches the earth, and then, you know, like this? Or,
yeah, I was just asking which category would he fit
in Shaktivesh.
Which is jiva tattva?
No, they're counted as incarnations of the Lord, but it's a jiva who's doing that office. They're counted in the six kinds of incarnations. But they're jivas.
The same with Sanat Kumar also. The four kumars.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. So they all have their own position.
They're just a position of the Lord, so they're manifesting just one or two qualities. So it's mentioned like you said here. So they're a somewhat learned person. Like that. Means they're incarnations of the Lord, but they happen to be jivas. Because they're manifesting the potency. That's why they call Shakta Avesha.
Because here, everything is this. Trying the opponents, they equate in the avatars with the jivas.
Yes, but that potency is coming from the Lord, because they also equate that the Lord has no quality. So when he manifests a form and all that, it's all the mode of goodness. But otherwise, he has no qualities, even though they say he's unlimited and unchanging, which are qualities. But. So somebody's empowered to do that. So they're not. It's not just that they're jivas; they can do that. So they're claiming they're God, but they're not Shakyavesh. They're not doing God's work. But they equate that if there's any commonality, they're exactly the same. Does that make sense? You know, just like. You have some blue there, and she in the border that has some blue, so the two of you are exactly the same. You understand? That's what the Mayavadis are saying. So it's just, we're bringing out here. So it's not that. So the focus on this is on Krishna, the Vishnu Tattva. Right? Because in here, in the presentation, it doesn't mention the Shaktivesh. We keep bringing up the Shaktivesh. You know what I'm saying? But it does. They are not mentioning it here. That's a different discussion. So here what's being mentioned is that he has these different forms. So when you're dealing with the Amshas, with the Swamsha and the Kalas, they're manifesting just a quality like this. And that's all they do. Like you mentioned, Matsya. He just does certain things. That's all. But like you see, other avatars of the Lord, they do more. You know, they fly around in their airplane or on Garuda or like this and that, but we don't see Matsya doing that. You know, we see Matsya, he's the carrier, the vehicle. Okay. So it's just a matter of that. So that's what the focus is on. You know, but the difficulty is that refined vision is what we have to catch. Because otherwise, as soon as we see, because the intelligence sees what's different and what's the same. And depending upon, you know, how we're looking at it, then here it's showing the difference, but we're bringing in what's the same. Right? Because if it's the same, then we can be God. Like that, yeah. So we want to avoid.
You're like, they are just taking on the word of Amsha. Because, and they're equating that, well, Amsha means jivas as well as incarnations. So they're just sticking to that particular word, but they're not going into details of it that, you know, you have so Amsha, you have the colors, you have the green Amsha. So that distinction is not being made by them.
No, because they make no differentiation. It just makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like if you're a manager and you make no distinction between the people you work with, for your part, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
So being impersonal is actually the easiest way to get things done.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't get very good. It doesn't get very good results.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it easy for you. So if it being easy for you is your, you know, your philosophy, then yeah, the impersonal will work.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's actually doing something for Krishna, then the impersonal doesn't work.
In his Parashara Hora Shastra, he, like Parashara Muni, describes, like after mentioning the incarnations, then he describes there is Paramatma and Jivatma within the Jiva. And some Jivas, the Paramatma Amsha is more. That's the way he defines the Shaktavish.
Oh, okay. So it's Paramatma is manifesting more potency, or a specific potency. Yeah. How can he walk so funny? Because Paramatma is so big. Yeah. So Paramatma manages it. That's very nice. Yeah, then that doesn't...
Parashara Muni.
Vyasadeva's father. So, you know, an acceptable authority. Yeah. So now you've successfully ruined the concept that, you know, we could be more powerful. Because Krishna manifests more, so therefore you see that. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Footnote 76. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, are all the avatars equal or are they graded? This verse answers, those avatars previously described and those not described are Amshas, Matsyakurma, etc. And some of them are Kala, Kumaras, Narada, etc., Avesha avatars, of the first Purusha described in Mahavishnu. Thus it is said, Jnana Shaktyadi Kalaya Yatra Vishto Janardana Ta Avesha Nigadyante Jiva Eva Mahat Tama Vaikunte Pi Tata Yata Seisho Narada Shanakadayaha. Exalted jivas empowered by the Lord with portions of his powers, such as knowledge, are called avesha forms. Examples existing even in the Vaikuntha are Sesha, Narada, and the Kumaras. Loga Bhagavatamrita 1.1.18-19. Padma Purana says, the Lord of four hands holding the conch and chakra entered into Prithu. O goddess, the activities of the great soul Parasarama, a Shaktivesh avatar of the Supreme Lord, holder of the bow, has been described. So then the Lord, then he enters in, that means as Paramatma he's manifesting more qualities. Because if he's taking on the aspect of God, that's the Paramatma aspect. Right? Bhagavan is him personally and him interacting with the devotees based on the personalities. He does things because he's God, that's Paramatma. Right, because we're not taking so much the Bhagavan aspect as his lordship. Right? Not that Bhagavan doesn't have that, but we're simply looking at his powers and his greatness and his control of his energies. That's all we're looking at. That's why he's God, not because he's you know, the original person or something. Not that we don't accept that he is, but you understand the focus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like let's say, the businessman. He's dealing with, let's say, the prime minister. Right? It's that kind of like formal things, and they're taking pictures and all that kind of jazz. So he may be dealing with the person, right? But he's not actually, it's not about being personal. It's about being seen with the prime minister. You know, everybody's smiling, getting his picture taken, and then with that he can make more money. So he's not actually dealing with the prime minister because he's a person. He's dealing with him because of his power, potencies. So that's what I mean. So you see, like the Yaduza is because he's God. But he's family, but he's God. You know what I'm saying? So for him, for them, he's Paramatma. Right? For, like for the Brajbasis, he's just Bhagavan. Right? So, in Dorka, he is Bhagavan. But the point is the perspective is generally more as Paramatma. It's a flavor. You understand? Or with the those in the realized souls, the liberated souls, and they'll see him more as Brahman. Though they can, you know, he is Bhagavan, he is Paramatma. They don't have it, there's not a problem there. But their focus is on that, his, how he pervades, how everything is him. And because of that, they never feel separation.
Mm. Yes.
Right?
So now it depends on the desire of the jiva.
Yes, it's just a matter of that. Yeah, the desire of the jiva, so the relationship with Krishna.
And the Lord reciprocates according to the desire. Yeah.
At the end of the Kali Yuga, Vasudeva enters into Kalki, a teacher of spiritual matters, and protects the world. Entering in Kali Yuga into those jivas who have previously appeared, the Lord carries out his desired activities. Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.4.37.39. The Kumaras and Narada are invested with Shakti of Jnana and Bhakti. Prithu and others are invested with Kriya Shakti action. Right, so Kumaras with Jnana, Narada with Bhakti, and Prithu with Kriya Shakti. Mm-hmm. Some are invested with great powers and others with little power. Included in the first type of great powers are Kumaras and Narada. They are called avatars. Others with less power, such as Marichi and the Manus, are called Vibhutis. But he who is called the 20th avatar, Krishna, is Bhagavan, not an Amsha. Nor is he an Amshi Purusha avatar. He is Bhagavan, right? So the Amshi Purusha avatar, meaning the Purusha avatars, from them there are coming the others. Does that make sense? So they're also, you could say avatari in that from, not Manai. Aniruddha, then generally we see, you know, from Kiradakshaya Vishnu, then comes all the different incarnations that are there, all the Vishnu Tattva deities. So in that way, he's Amshi. Yes. But the point is Krishna's not like that. He being Amshi means everybody else comes from him.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Krishna is Amshi, right?
Yes, but these others are also Amshi in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You know, it's just like Mahavishnu, from him comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then from him comes Kiradakshaya. So that means Mahavishnu is an Amshi, and then Amshas are Garbhadakshaya and Kiradakshaya. And then Garbhadakshaya is an Amshi because Kiradakshaya Vishnu comes from.